This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Pressing China on North Korea. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koshenka, it is Thursday, November 9. Glad you can be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
As part of his extended trip to Asia, President Trump today urged the president of China to do more to get the Kim regime to drop its nuclear program.
Vice President Mike Pence paid a visit to rural southeast Texas to pay tribute to those grieving from Sunday's church massacre.
New investigation finds buildings across America are wrapped in the same panels that helped fuel that deadly London fire over the summer.
And the people who love horror movies but can't stomach actually watching them.
Some people just still cannot stand watching a horror movie. And so what they've done is they have found a sort of a workaround, which is going to Wikipedia, which publishes the plot summaries of pretty much every movie ever made, including horror movies. And we're talking like whole summaries of what happened.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Schwartzel on reading a horror movie plot on Wikipedia and other ways to experience a movie by skipping the scary parts. He's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump is pushing China to do more on the North Korean nuclear issue and also says bilateral trade has been unfair to the United States. However, earlier today, he praised President Xi Jinping's pledge that China would be more open to foreign firms. On North Korea, Mr. Trump said, quote, China can fix this problem quickly and easily, urging Beijing to cut financial links with North Korea and also calling on Russia to help.
I think you're going to help us a lot with the menace of North Korea. We've had some tremendous discussions on that today, and I think things will happen. I believe things will happen.
Mr. Trump was speaking alongside Mr. Xi in the Chinese capital to announce the signing of about $250 billion in commercial deals between U.S. and Chinese firms. In a show of the importance China puts on Mr. Trump's first official visit, the welcoming ceremony outside Beijing's Great Hall of the People overlooking Tiananmen Square was broadcast live on state television. Unprecedented treatment for a visiting leader. President Trump is trying to ease the concerns of some Democratic senators about the House Republican tax overhaul. The Wall Street Journal says he called into a meeting of Democratic senators on Tuesday to tell them the Senate version will be more to their liking. The Journal says the comments risk complicating Republican efforts to present a united front on both the Senate and House versions of the tax bill to keep it on track. Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden.
Senate Democrats told the administration and the president that tax reform can be bipartisan if you focus on the middle class. And that's what voters demanded last night.
Senate Republicans plan to unveil their own tax legislation today. Some of the potential areas of difference with the House involve the estate tax, the timing of a cut in the corporate tax rate, and various individual deductions, such as for state and local taxes and household medical expenses. Vice President Mike Pence has paid a tribute to the victims and heroes from last Sunday's church massacre in rural southeastern Texas.
I offer the condolences of the American people to all of those affected by the horrific attack that took place just 3 days ago.
He and his wife Karen were welcomed with cheers and applause from as many as 2,000 people yesterday who filled half of a high school football stadium in Floresville, Texas for the prayer vigil. Floresville is the school district for the small town of Sutherland Springs, where the shootings left 26 people dead. Earlier, he met with wounded survivors and family members of the victims.
No attack, no act of violence will ever break our spirit or diminish the faith of the American people.
In referencing the worshipers, Mr. Pence said, if the attacker's desire was to silence their testimony of faith, he failed. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Tech Advisor. One of the Democratic Party's most progressive think tanks is out with a new report that underscores the relevance of working-class white voters to their coalition, a critical finding that means the party can't afford to write off the most pro-Trump segment of the electorate. More from Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. Josh, what are we learning here?
Contrary to some of the exit poll data, a much greater share of the 2016 electorate was made up of working class white voters, or specifically white voters without a four-year college degree. So the number they pinned was 45%, almost half the electorate was a white voter without a college degree, and over 60% of those voters voted for Donald Trump. So they conclude that, look, Democrats need to make a comeback. You need to win over some of the voters they lost in the last election, and you can't ignore the most pro-Trump part of the electorate if they want to make a comeback.
Wow. Are these voters gettable, for lack of a better word, for Democrats?
They are, and I've talked to a lot of Democratic strategists who have done work in a lot of these types of states and districts, and they've seen gains made as Trump's job approval rating has declined throughout his presidency, so it's not impossible for Democrats to win these voters back. But there also is a huge educational divide in our politics, which grows larger and larger by the day. And if you just look at the big wins last night in Virginia and in New Jersey, these are two of the most highly educated states in the country. And you can see how well Democratic candidates, like Democratic governor-elect Ralph Northam, ran up the score in Virginia, and Democrats easily won the New Jersey governorship as well. They were winning those races because they did so well with college-educated white voters. The challenges in some of these Midwestern states, some of the other swing states that are more blue-collar, the composition of the electorate is a lot different, and Democrats have to wonder whether they can make similar types of gains in states like Ohio and Iowa and Wisconsin.
We're speaking with Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. He's written a piece entitled, Why Democrats Need Working-Class White Voters. You wrote in the piece, too, that regarding this study, the findings offer some uncomfortable truths for a party that has long embraced a demographics is destiny hubris. Meaning what?
So during the Obama administration, you had a lot of Democratic operatives who believed they don't need to moderate their message, they don't need to win over these working-class white voters, because the future is a much more diverse country, and then these voters are going to become reliable Democrats. And the 2016 election was a rude wake-up call that's not the case. And as this study shows, the exit poll data understates the share of the electorate that's made up of these working-class white voters. I mean, if you write off nearly half of the electorate, that's a surefire way to lose an election.
Yeah.
Now they don't need to win. Democrats don't need to win a majority of these voters, but they can't lose them by 30 points, which is about what Hillary Clinton faced when she took on Donald Trump.
Mm. All right. So what's this mean, perhaps for 2018, but definitely beyond in terms of say messaging?
Well, look, 2018, it's going to be, the Democrats look like they're going to have a very good midterm election, and the Virginia and New Jersey governor's race elections show that the wind is at the Democrats' back. And there are, I think, 23 of the districts that Democrats are contesting are in districts that are largely white-collar, affluent seats where Hillary Clinton carried the day. But there also are a lot of these blue-collar districts that Democrats also hope to win back, and they are going to need some of these districts if they want to win back a majority. So they can't just rely on the upscale end of their coalition. Democrats need to win back at least some of these people who voted for Trump in last year's election if they want to have a chance to win the House.
What about where do millennials fall in all this? Was that explored? Are they still engaged?
The millennials, they didn't break the results down by age, but when you look at sort of the big picture, younger voters tend to be more Democratic, but they also don't tend to show up as much. And I believe youth turnout in 2016 was down sharply, and that was a big reason why Trump was able to score some surprising victories.
Wow. Thanks, Josh. That's Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Biden and President Trump today criticized the very one-sided and unfair trade relationship between the U.S. and China, but stopped short of castigating Chinese President Xi Jinping by saying he doesn't blame the country for having taken advantage of the U.S.
You want trade with our countries. You want it to be bigger, better, and stronger for both of us. And we're working on that. We're working on balancing it.
Trump spoke after the announcement of new business deals between U.S. and Chinese companies. A crowd turned out for a memorial service last night for the victims of Sunday's massacre at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Vice President Mike Pence addressed the gathering at a high school stadium in nearby Floresville.
We find hope in the heroic actions of men and women in law enforcement, the first responders, all the outstanding medical professionals, doctors, surgeons, nurses, and EMTs who undoubtedly saved lives by their swift action that day.
The program included hymns and comments from other politicians. The three UCLA men's basketball players arrested in China for allegedly shoplifting cannot leave their hotel until the end of the legal process, which could last months. ESPN says police are requiring the players to remain at their hotel until the legal process is done, which could last days, weeks, or longer. Among those arrested, freshman LiAngelo Ball, the younger brother of Laker Lonzo Ball. The State Department and UCLA athletics officials declined to address how long legal proceedings might take. More troubles for actor Kevin Spacey, who's being cut from Ridley Scott's finished film, All the Money in the World, and replaced by Christopher Plummer just over 1 month before it's supposed to hit theaters. Plummer is taking over the role of J. Paul Getty. Garth Brooks continued his winning streak as Entertainer of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards last night, beating out Luke Bryan and Keith Urban.
The most important thing, man, other than God himself, are you, the people that allow us to get to be in the greatest music ever, country music, man.
And though he ended the award show on a happy note, the show opened with a tribute to the victims of recent mass shootings, as well as the tens of thousands of people affected by several hurricanes.
It does seem, too, that on social media, especially on Twitter, Mr. Brooks took a little grief for lip-syncing during the performance last night.
Did he?
But he admitted it. Afterwards, saying, hey, listen, my voice is kind of stressed. Like 10 days, concerts, like 10 concerts in 12 days or something like that. So
no excuse.
Took a little grief. It's 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday. Scaredy cats across the country have found refuge in reading the plots to horror movies on Wikipedia, where users who have actually watched the Fright Fests write these boring, non-descriptive recaps of what has happened. It's a story from Wall Street Journal film industry reporter Eric Schwartzel. Eric, what have you found?
Even though we've had these massive blockbusters with movies like It and Get Out, some people just still cannot stand watching a horror movie. And so what they've done is they have found a, sort of a workaround, which is going to Wikipedia, which publishes the plot summaries of pretty much every movie ever made, including horror movies. And we're talking like whole summaries of what happens. So if you don't want to watch the movie but still want to know how it ends or who the killer is, you can go on Wikipedia and in two or three paragraphs figure it all out.
Wow. And the description, for example, from one of the movies you wrote is just completely flat. Like, there's no embellishment of blood dripping or bullet holes or anything like that, right? It's just a flat, so-and-so got stabbed.
It is the most boring prose you can find. And what I was surprised to learn is that the Wikipedia contributors really pride themselves on that. They really don't want to have any emotion in the writing. They think Wikipedia should be this sort of one-size-fits-all resource.
Uh-huh.
And so you don't want to sort of inject any emotion into the writing, whether that, as you say, like descriptions of all the blood and guts or, you know, any political leanings you might have on a different page.
Yeah. Wow, that's really something. And I did not realize, I guess, that, first of all, that's enough for some people. Right, because they just want to be able to hold a conversation with friends who are movie junkies, but others will actually then maybe go read the book or actually see the movie so they can be aware of what's coming up.
Yeah, sometimes it's used as a way to ease people into watching the movie. So some people use it as a bit of a palate cleanser, you know, to get into the movie. Others, I think, to tell you the truth, take a bit of a perverse pleasure in reading the descriptions of things they're never going to see. I can't quite untangle the psychology behind that, but it definitely was a theme in my reporting.
Wow. How about that couple who, what they do with The Walking Dead? They did something similar, but slightly off track.
Right, there's this really lovely couple in Olympia, Washington, I found. They watch The Walking Dead together, but Tiffany, the woman in the relationship, she cannot stand the suspense. So she's on the West Coast, so she figured out a trick where, since the show will air on the East Coast 3 hours ahead of her time, she'll go on a Facebook group called Walking Dead Spoilers, read everything that happens in that episode, and then watch it that night with her husband. And wow. She told me that for a while she got away with it, and she was sort of acting surprised at things that would happen or acting scared because she didn't want to, you know, reveal to her husband what she had done.
Oh.
But then one night she had too much of a poker face, and he said, "Oh, you knew, didn't you?" And now she's revealed to him that this is the only way she can watch it with him.
Thanks, Eric. Wall Street Journal film industry reporter Eric Schwartzel. That was an A-head story, as they call it in the journal, by the way. That's the front page, lower level. It's the quirky story. He's in a competition to finish in first place for the year with the most A-head stories. It is 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Hey, the holidays are fast approaching. Order gifts for everyone on your list with the click of a mouse. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code DEAL in the search bar. That's 75% off. Omaha Steaks offers the most flavorful, tender-aged beef, aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, hand-trimmed, and vacuum sealed. They also have veggies, desserts, appetizers, fresh seafood, and so much more. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings for our listeners. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus 4 additional kielbasa sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code DEAL in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, November 9. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: Trump presses China on trade and North Korean nukes. Pence visits victims of the Texas church massacre. New rules take effect today that make it harder for Americans to travel to Cuba. New federal indictment says former Louisville coach Rick Pitino was aware of a scheme to pay a basketball recruit and even took part in it. Concert in San Francisco tonight for wildfire relief. Metallica and Dave Matthews headline it. And the $100,000 hotel room that hundreds of football fans are in a lottery for. That story in about 20 minutes. A high school in Alaska, a National Football League stadium, a Baltimore high-rise hotel, and a Dallas airport terminal are among thousands of structures across the U.S. and worldwide covered in combustible core panels similar to those that burned in June's deadly London fire. And in its exclusive story, The Wall Street Journal has found things could get worse. Here's reporter Scott Calvert. Scott, take us through this.
We started looking into this and discovered that that similar panels are used in a number of buildings across the country, across the U.S., as you said, but also in places like Dubai and Australia, and certainly in the U.K., and there have been a number of fires over the years implicating these panels.
Wow. Why are they so dangerous, I guess? What is it about the fires or the material used?
Well, you know, as I said, so it's a very, very thin panel. I think the aluminum, it's usually aluminum on either side, is like maybe a quarter of an inch, so very thin. And then in the middle is a, you know, equally thin plastic, and it's usually polyethylene, which is combustible. If it gets hot enough, if there's enough of a fire around there, the polyethylene will ignite and become molten. It'll sort of separate the metal from the plastic and fling the metal through the air and sort of go up the side of a building, which is obviously a dangerous situation.
Boy. This stuff is used, why? I'm afraid to ask. Is this a cheap way to wrap a building or build walls?
Well, they were developed, you know, about 50 years ago in Europe, and Architects like them because they're rigid but yet also flexible. They come in different colors and sort of surfaces, and you can do really cool things with them, I guess is one way to put it. You know, you can do really interesting sort of curves and unique design accents. So architects like them because they give them a really good tool to use.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. His piece is called Buildings Across U.S. Are Wrapped in Same Panels That Fueled Deadly London Fire. You recall that back in June, 80 people died in the Grenfell Towers fire. Something that jumped out in the story, too, that you wrote, you said a loosening of the model U.S. building code could make matters worse. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's really interesting. There was some reporting after the fire, you know, that well, this never happened in the U.S. because these panels aren't allowed to be used on the side of tall buildings. And when we looked into it, we found something. We found that that's basically not the case. And the way it works in the U.S. is there's something called the International Code Council. It's based in Washington, D.C., and it drafts the model building code for the U.S. every 3 years. And from about 2000 until 2012, that code, the model code, said you can't use these panels, these aluminum composite or metal composite material panels, the ones with the plastic cores, above 50 feet, unless the panel systems pass a burn test. And none of these, you know, combustible core panels had ever passed that. But what happened is, in starting with the 2012 edition of this code, it was loosened. And, you know, in essence, what it said is you could go to unlimited height as long as you met a few conditions, and you didn't have to pass that burn test. You know, you had to have an automatic sprinkler, but all modern skyscrapers or towers in the U.S. have those.
Yeah.
And you had to have a certain separation between, you know, your building and then another building. But otherwise, you know, sky's the limit. But we talked to a fire safety expert at the organization actually that had developed the burn test that's used. And he said after the Grenfell Tower fire, they were looking at this U.S. model code and were stunned, and they couldn't believe what they were looking at. He actually said, you know, we kept reading it saying, you know, is this right?
Boy, so let's say that you live in a high-rise building somewhere in a city in the U.S. How do you find out if your building is made with this stuff, and is that worth exploring?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, one of the challenges that we came up against is there's nobody who catalogs the use of these panels. There's no sort of central repository you can go to. And what we also found is that even if you go to like a city building department, they don't know themselves. And you know, one of the things that was also surprising in our reporting is there is a 32-story Marriott hotel in Baltimore that the manufacturer said is covered in these combustible core panels. But the city of Baltimore said it couldn't say one way or the other because it essentially relied on the architect to comply with code. And all that the city knew was that these panels were made of metal, which obviously oversimplifies things quite a bit.
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. We use the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well. That is, if you can tolerate a little cynicism and sarcasm. My username on Twitter is @GordonDeal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here. We'll look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning that do not involve the rock band The Cars.
Thankfully. Well, Gordon, a UPS driver delivering packages in an Oregon town had a scary moment earlier this week when he heard what sounded like a woman screaming inside of a residence. According to CBS News, the driver named Lee Purdy paused on the street to listen. Sure enough, once again, he heard help, help, and didn't know what was going on. Purdy called his wife to ask her advice, and she called 911 just to be safe. When a Clackamas County police deputy arrived at the scene, he didn't find a woman in distress. Instead, he found Diego, the family's pet parrot. Thankfully, the green and yellow bird was uninjured and in no need of actual police assistance. And if you think this is odd, it's not even the strangest encounter the Clackamas police deputies have had in the past 7 days. Last week, a deputy was on his usual patrol route when he spotted a female driver who appeared to be in distress parked along the side of the road. He pulled over and discovered the woman staring at a large yellow spider crawling up her dashboard. Luckily, the deputy was able to catch the perp in time using gloves to remove the insect from her vehicle.
Wow. Why was she still inside her vehicle if she was stressing over the spider and already apparently parked on the side of the road?
Frozen with fear, I would have to guess. Man. You know, some people with spiders, you know, that's the way they react. You know, some people around here with snakes, like Jennifer, for instance, if I was to bring a snake into the office, she might not be able to move, paralyzed with fear. That's just what I'm guessing.
Ooh. I've seen that happen, though, where like all of a sudden that web drops from, you know, your rear view mirror or something like that. Uh-oh. You know, you got half an eye on that and half an eye on the road.
We got that here in the office. We got spiders that drop from the ceiling right in front of us on a semi-regular basis.
I've not seen that.
It's very glamorous here in the
You might want to consider vacuuming in your area. Pick up the crumbs. Like here in the studio, it's nice. I don't know what you guys are doing out there.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. And speaking of unglamorous, we all know how unglamorous the process of selling a used car can be, but what if you could add a slick Madison Avenue marketing push to help move your wheels? That's what a Los Angeles filmmaker did to help his fiance sell her 1996 Honda Accord, making her a professional-looking commercial that quickly went viral, complete with classical music score and low-key voiceover.
Introducing a used 1996 Honda Accord, a car for people who have life figured out and just need a way to get somewhere.
The narrator of the minute-long video goes on to say things like, "You don't need things, you're happy with who you are," and "Luxury is a state of mind," while the 21-year-old Honda winds its way through California canyons. The car's stats are also flashed on screen, such as 141,095 miles and starting at $499. The commercial initially helped the eBay auction for the car reach a high bid of $150,000. But the auction was canceled by eBay's fraud department, and the site was asked that the auction be restarted, and the price now sits at $5,600 with 3 days to go. The video, by the way, has now been seen more than 4.7 million times.
Wow. From $500 to $5,600 for a 21-year-old car?
Not bad.
Cash in.
I think we all might be hiring this guy.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for being with us. Well, it pays to be well-liked. A new website called Inkify.com calculates how much your posts are worth on Instagram based on how many followers you have just by typing in your Instagram handle. Moneyish.com says plenty of Instagram influencers. These are non-celebrities with more than 3,000 followers on the social media app get paid by brands to post photos promoting their swag or a travel experience. But just about anyone can build up a following and get paid in the process. Someone with a more modest 1,400 followers can make about $8 per picture, while someone with around 600 followers can earn about $350. Ways to increase your follower count without paying for more are simple. Use hashtags like hashtag FF, which stands for Follow Friday, hashtag InstaFollow, and hashtag 141, which means like for like. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump made a cooperative partner for Beijing's sweeping efforts to control the message of his heavily choreographed visit as Trump and his Chinese counterpart took no questions at an event today billed as a news briefing. Trump called on China to do more to rein in North Korea's nuclear ambitions.
I think you're going to help us a lot with the menace of North Korea. We've had some tremendous discussions on that today, and I think things will happen. I believe things will happen.
The Trump administration has said repeatedly it expects Beijing to use its leverage over the North Korean regime to help end Pyongyang's nuclear and missile programs. The Senate version of the Republicans' high-stakes tax overhaul is set to be unveiled with billions in tax cuts for people and corporations, repeal of the federal deduction for state and local taxes, and a likely compression of the personal income tax brackets from 7 to 4. But Senator Chuck Schumer says the GOP should assess Tuesday's election results before racing ahead.
If you think the results in Virginia and New Jersey were terrible for you, wait until you've passed a bill that raises taxes on large swaths of middle-class families in your district.
Underscoring the political imperative for the Republicans and President Trump, top administration officials met privately with GOP senators yesterday as Senate tax writers put finishing touches on their bill. Americans seeking to visit Cuba must navigate a complicated maze of travel, commerce, and financial restrictions unveiled by the Trump administration, part of a new policy to further isolate the island's communist government. Now off limits to U.S. citizens are dozens of Cuban hotels, shops, and tour companies. Most Americans will once again be required to travel as part of heavily regulated organized tour groups run by U.S. companies rather than voyaging to Cuba on their own. More trouble in NFL land as Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones is ready to fight a proposed contract extension for Commissioner Roger Goodell. Jones reportedly told the six owners on the compensation committee he's prepared to sue if the group votes to extend Goodell's deal. All 32 owners voted in May to extend Goodell's contract, but Jones has since been embroiled in a dispute sparked by Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension over alleged domestic violence.
He might sue.
He's going to sue.
Well, goodness. Well, the billionaires are all fired up over extending the contract of Goodell, who makes about $40 million a year. Ugh. Right? 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. They love their college football at Texas A&M, and some are willing to shell out mega bucks for a first-class experience to see the Aggies. The school today will hold a lottery in which the winners walk away with an unusual prize, the right to pay $100,000 for a hotel reservation. The big amenity? The hotel will sit across the street from Kyle Field, where A&M plays 6 or 7 games each year. Sound absurd? Well, the Wall Street Journal says so far more than 750 A&M alumni have expressed interest in the program. Less than a third will win. For sleeping quarters on the hotel's top floor, 13 suites and 36 standard rooms, there's a $10,000 deposit required. Those reservations, where the starting point for bids ranges up to $475,000, will be auctioned off next week. The hotel and conference center is set to be ready for next season. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.